That leads me to my message tonight. And thanks for standing. It's Luke chapter 1, verse 9. I think that's the right scripture because I changed it last second. Let me double check. No, Luke 19. I can't read my own writing. I did get my new glasses today, so my bifocals are working well. Thank you, Jesus. Luke 19 and 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Remember that the next time you try to sell God a reason why you can't be in church. This man barreled through the crowd. He said, if I can't see him, I'm going to climb up in the tree and I'm going to watch him from there. When's the last time you climbed a tree for church? And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. You can always tell the self-righteous Christians from the real ones. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. He never even took up an offering. Do you know why Zacchaeus didn't take up an offering? You know why Jesus never said a word? Because I'm going to tell you something. For all of you that say, I have Jesus in my heart, if you claim you got Jesus in your heart and you're afraid to give in the offering plate, I'm telling you right now, you ain't got Jesus in your heart. I'm telling you, you don't. Because when Jesus is in your life, you'll give anything and you'll give everything. Because it so overwhelms you, you don't look at numbers. You're just so excited to be a part of what God is doing. Jesus walks in and Jesus never said a word. Zacchaeus said, Lord, behold, half of all I have I give to the poor. And then he said, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. He was a publican. He was a tax collector for the Romans. So he probably strong-armed some people and took a little more of what he should have. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. Why? Because the Lord always honors humble, sincere, hungry people. For so much as he also is the son of Abraham. This is the key. This is the text. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I need to preach to you on this thought. We simply must. We simply must. Would you pray for us, Brother Jerome?
Lord, we pray over this service, God, that you would have your will and way. Lord, that you would use Pastor today, God, to preach the word that you placed on his heart, Lord, and anoint him as he does it. Lord, I pray that we've come in here ready to just take this word in to apply it to our everyday life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for standing such a long time. You can be seated. This text reveals a lot of things. But before I share any of that with you, I want to tell you a couple nights ago, I woke up with a scripture in my spirit. And you know how you're laying in bed and you're half awake and you're still half asleep, and then you lay there like that for about a half an hour? Well, that's what I did, and it just went through my head. And I tried to shake myself awake so I could write some things down, and I just was not successful, but it stuck in my spirit. And the next scripture that I'm going to read to you is the one that stuck in my spirit. But as I lay there half awake and half asleep with this scripture going through my head, it was almost as if an urgency had come upon me, a must, something that God was trying to do and wanting to stir, not just with us, but in our world that we live in today. When I read the text, it'll help you, it'll make a little more sense. So I woke up, and of course, as misfortune would have it, you get started about your day and you forget to write things down, and before you know it, it's gone. The scripture was still there, but the things that God had put in my spirit when he shared this scripture, it wasn't there, but the scripture stuck with me. And it bothered me because I felt like, well, God, there's nothing profound about the text, but I felt some profound things, but those profound things have escaped my mind. And I need to hear some of those things again. But it never happened. But the scripture, the text, is stuck in my spirit. And when I began, I knew at that moment that it was something that I must preach tonight. I knew there was a reason for it and there was a purpose. And the reason is broader than just a service. It's greater than just an individual tonight. But it is a charge. It is a mission. It is a deeper commission as we engage in the last hours. I'll tell you again, as I'm going to continue to say probably every day of my life, I think with all of my heart, mind, and soul that God is shaking what can be shaken, and the things which cannot be shaken will remain. And in that shaking, God is stirring the hearts of backsliders across this world. But it's not just to have a harvest. It's because Jesus is coming for His church, and He is trying to bring people back to the Lord before He comes and claims that which is His. I am telling you, more than one thing or one individual, God is doing it. And He's not just bringing the good. He's bringing everything, the good, the bad, the ugly. Let him who will come, He is going for them. I got a man that came and visited us in church. And I want to try and be discreet. Long story short, he's had a past with homosexuality. And we've talked in length. And he told me, he said, the homosexual community is a broken community. He said, it's a hurting community. He said, it's a community that has been rejected on every single side. Rejected from family, rejected from friends, rejected in society. And we're not talking about political pandering. Politicians don't care about you. They don't care about me. And they're not sending you $1,400 for those of you that are sitting there looking at your bank account every day to see if it's there. It ain't because they like you. It's because they want your vote. And they'll bankrupt the country to get it. We are $30 trillion in debt as a nation now. And a new thing that just came out said by the end of this year, our debt will exceed our revenue each year. Well, tell me what happens in your life when your debt exceeds your revenue. It's called bankruptcy. It's coming. That's neither here nor there. And it really bothered me when he said this to me, because he said it with such sincerity and such passion. And the thing that went through my mind was, then God, how do we reach this community? Not just select communities. Not just people that we think are serious about serving God, but how do we reach those that are so broken and they feel so rejected, whether it's in this community or any other community? And so the only answer to the question is this. Number one, we must find a way. We must find a way. The church must find a way to hold fast and preach truth. Truth, but still do it with a level of love that will cause those that are broken to want to, run into the arms of the church. That will cause those that are so broken and so hurting that they will feel, regardless whether you preach against the life that they're living or not, they'll still say, I still feel this is a safe place. I still feel that this is a place that will love me. And this is a place that will not condone my life, but they will not condemn me either. That is the balance that the church must figure out how to find before the Lord comes. Because the harvest is vast. The harvest is plenteous. The laborers will always be few in number. And I'm going to tell you something. God is not flattered by people that put on light shows and give away bicycles and $50 bills to get people in their churches. God is not flattered by people that come to church. God is flattered by the Zacchaeuses of this world. That will not say, I will not be disenfranchised. I want what this man has. Put your phones away and your tablets, guys. We're in church. That will say, I need that and I'll do whatever I got to do. If that means climb up into the tree to get a good view, if that means I'm going to have my buddies carry me up and tear the roof off the house and lower me down, if I got a journey for a season and meet him on the seashore, I want what he has. And people will come, they will drive, they'll do whatever. If the church will get serious about the commission that we are tasked with, especially in this last hour. So I felt this urgency in my spirit as I lay there in bed. Must. We simply must. We must. We must. We must. Jesus walks through and he finds this publican who climbs up into the tree. And he goes to his house. Immediately, Zacchaeus is so overwhelmed. He starts offering to give more than 10%. Now, I don't want your money. If you think that's a ploy, keep your money. I tell you all the time. It was his heart. And the Lord said, to this day, salvation has come to this house because of the heart of Zacchaeus. My next text is in Luke chapter 2, verse 45. Actually, we'll begin in verse 41 just for the sake of those who might not be familiar with the text. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph, his mother, knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have then in the company went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? I must be about my father's business. This must and this urgency became a trademark of the ministry of Jesus Christ. It began when he was young. Take heed, young people. God wants you when you're young. He doesn't want you in clubs. He doesn't want you running around with your buddies every Friday night. He wants you active for the kingdom of God. He won't make you, don't worry. He won't force you, don't worry. But he wants you and he needs you busy for the gospel of Jesus Christ. This Friday night, we have a youth rally here. There are going to be churches from all over our section. We'll be gathering. Yeah, we'll pack in. We'll pray. We'll use hand sanitizer. But we're going to worship God. And our young people are going to pull together. And there will be adults. You can come. I'll be here. My family will be here. And we're going to have a time. Friday night, I'm going to say it. And I don't get any friends. Friday night is not for football. It's not for basketball. Friday night is for youth group. I know everybody else in the world is doing football and basketball. You're coming to the wrong guy when you say, well, your kids need to be involved in sports. The kids need to be in church. The kids need to be around other kids that are like-minded. Kids need to understand that we must be about our Father's business. They must be trained and they must be taught that God is calling young people, young men and young women into the gospel for such a time as this. That God is calling people that will give themselves to the Lord in whatever way he will ask of him. The harvest is plenteous. There still are not enough laborers. You must understand the prophetic of that scripture. We were told hundreds, if not thousands of years ago, that there would not be enough laborers then and even now. No, I'm not saying it's bad to play football. I'm just telling you, every person I've ever seen that give ever fight at football, they're all backslidden. Just a fact of life. It's a fact. They're all backslidden. They ain't at church, ain't serving God, and they don't even know what to do themselves. Because they were taught, play football, football, baseball, basketball, football, baseball, basketball. Now they can't even get a job. They don't know where they fit in the kingdom of God. Now, I know I get people offended at me when I say this stuff, but that's okay. I'm going to say it anyway. I am telling you tonight, the urgency that I had in my spirit is this. The Lord continues to press. I'm coming for my church. And that we must be about our Father's business. I'm coming for my church, and we must be about our Father's business. We must be busy for the things of God. That doesn't mean you can't have fun, young people. That doesn't mean you can't have a life. I've got a lot. Well, I don't really have much of a life, but I'm not young anymore, so that's kind of beside the point. I do in the summertime when I get my waveburns out in the water. Praise God, glory to Jesus, amen, hallelujah. Can't wait. Heading there again. But anyway, that's beside the point. When I was young, I was in church all the time. All the time when we were in church. I was the first one there. I was the last one to leave. And we got great, 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 great young people in our church. We got great young adults. They're here. They are busy. They're doing what they can do. And I thank God for them. I think our young adults are models for this entire county. And I'm going to tell you that. Hold on a second. I'm going to tell you this much right now. You take this statement however you want. I don't believe there's a church in this county that has young adults that stand up to ours. Why? Because they're committed. Because they're not just in church. They're not just showing off talent. Because they're here. They're at prayer. They're praying. They're fasting. They're giving themselves to the Lord. They're growing. They're willing to sacrifice. They're willing to give themselves. That doesn't mean there aren't other good young men and women around the county. That's not what I said. But I'm telling you right now, they won't add up to ours. I'm telling you right now, you want to prove me wrong? Ask them how many prayer meetings they go to each week. Ask them what they're doing for the Lord. I used to date a girl. Well, that was before I was married, just for the record. She went to a different church. This girl, her first vehicle, she bought a minivan so she could pick people up for church. Now, that really, I mean, I liked that. I liked it. We had some different theological beliefs, and it probably was a relationship that should have never happened because you should not be unequally yoked. But we did it. We dated. And after a while of dating, I found out she had the right heart, but her life was a mess. And she went through guy after guy after guy. After guy after guy after guy. And when I wasn't willing to compromise some of my standards and some of my convictions, you can read in between the lines if you want to, the relationship ended. And not long after our relationship ended, she wound up pregnant. Wound up with a baby, wound up out of church. What am I saying to you? God doesn't look at what we do. I've listened to people for a year beat me up and tell me we're not saved by works. Well, I don't believe we're saved by works either. Then why do you look at everybody's works when you talk about their Christianity? Well, they're a good young man. Well, what's good? Now, I'm not here to criticize anybody. We've had our share of dummies too, young dummies, come through the church. And we've had our share of trouble. We've had our share of problems. But I am saying that we've got a great, amazing group of young men and young women who are committed. They're here every church service. If I have special events, they're here. If I need them for something, they're here. They're here at prayer meetings. They're here for a youth group. And so on, and so on, and so on. And why does that matter? Because Jesus began his ministry at the age of 12. He was proving to us when you are young, you can give your life to the Lord. You can give your life to the mission of the kingdom of God. And he went so far as to say, watch this, what do you mean you're looking for me? You should have known where I would be. You should have known I'm not out there playing with my friends. You should have known I'm not out there on the water riding my jet skis. Lord Jesus, forgive me. You should have known where I'd be. I'd be right here in the temple preaching and teaching and listening. You can't reach anybody if you're always flapping your gums. Sometimes you got to let them talk. Be an ear. Be their friend. Take time to go to lunch with them. Do something. Invest in them. And when you do, I am telling you, we will be a part of the greatest harvest the world is ever going to see, because God is absolutely moving on the hearts of people. He just needs a church that will say, I simply must be doing something for the kingdom of God. Not just my desire, but doing something. Now listen, going to church doesn't count. That's for you. You go to church for you. You get blessed. You enjoy worshiping. God blesses you. He moves on you. I'm glad you're here. You need to be, but I'm saying we must be about our Father's business. You say, but we are. That's good. We must continue. And we need more people. We need people to engage. We need people that will get on board, because God has set us up to have a harvest in this county that will absolutely be unparalleled. You take that as a word from the Lord. Unparalleled and unprecedented. Whether it happens in my time or after my time, it doesn't matter. It's happening. It will happen. There are promises that God has made me. Years ago when we started, I'm watching things come to fruition, and I see something now this year in the Spirit that came about because of COVID that I have not seen in the past. There is a hunger amongst people outside of these walls, and God is trying to feed that hunger. God is trying to minister to those, because the Word of God says, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Not those that go to church. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Those that want to live for the Lord. So where do we go from here? What do we do? This was my struggle all week. God, this is nothing revelatory. There's no revelation here. I wake up and it's so strong in my spirit, but give me something that like really sounds like woo, wow, zow, whatever. But that's not what it's about. It's the most basic thing in the world. We must be about our Father's business. We simply must. We simply must ask God to put something new in our spirit every day. We simply must allow ourselves to be used however God wants to use us and not where our desire is. And we simply must allow ourselves to be used, not just by making ourselves available, but by living a life of righteousness. We must allow ourselves to be godly. We must strive for holiness. I listened to a preacher say a couple weeks ago, well, you know, he wasn't perfect. Because God knows we can't be perfect. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, my God, I'm dumb as a box of rocks. But I know the Bible says be perfect as your Father is in heaven is perfect. What do you mean we can't be? That's not perfection. That's something different. Yes, there is a level of perfectness. Not perfection, but that God wants us to strive for. There is a level of holiness that we can live. Don't tell me that kids are just going to do it. I defy that and I disagree with it. God will raise a generation in this ungodly world of young men and young women that will cherish purity. They will cherish godliness. They will cherish their bodies. I believe it's still possible. And for those that have already made mistakes and you know it, I'll tell you what I tell everybody. I believe when the Bible says God can do anything, and I believe God can restore purity in our minds, in our spirit. I believe that if somebody desires it. Don't tell me God can do anything if we desire it. Anything. He can restore your body. He can restore your mind. I absolutely believe it. I believe it. I don't believe that. Then you don't believe God can do anything. Then you don't believe with God all things are possible. When I read that scripture, I believe anything can happen. I believe if God wants to pay this building off tomorrow, it'll happen. I believe if God wants to pour people into this church, it'll happen. But he needs a church that's willing to take care of them, Brother Jerry. Now, I'm going to go back to my dream last year, the year before, because I feel it in the Holy Ghost right now. For those of you that haven't heard it, I dreamed one night, and God has absolutely dealt with me in dreams. I don't care what you call it, whatever you want to. God has shown me major events that happened in our church in dreams, time and time again, and they'd come to pass within 6 months every time. And if you want me to bore you, I'd share it all with you, but I won't tonight. But in my first dream, I'm up here preaching, and right back there in that corner, right back there, Craig, you're lucky you moved tonight. Right in that aisle over there, there's a group of people, and they're just talking. Right in the middle of service. That's why I tell you, don't be getting on your little phones and everything. And they're talking. And I just thought, And then later on in the dream, they were now up here at the altar. And the group had grown just a little bit. And they're just talking. And they're talking. And I thought, while I'm preaching, I thought, oh my God, that's just so out of order. That's just so out of place. In the middle of, I'm preaching, man. Y'all up here talking, carrying on conversations. Kind of like some people do at altar service. Sorry about that. She had to throw it out there. So I woke up, and I knew there was something to the dream. I knew there was. But time goes on. I forgot about it. 1 week later, I had a second dream. The second dream was much more profound. In the second dream, this sanctuary was packed full of people. I mean, full, shoulder to shoulder, wasn't a place to sit. The foyer out there was open air, had no roof on it, and there's always a meaning to everything God does in a dream. And there was no roof. It was open, and it was packed with people. And I stood along the back wall. The back wall was a half wall. And I stood back there and I just kind of marveled. And I was thinking to myself, you know, I wish our folks would have sat out here so all these visitors could sit inside. And then I noticed in my dream that there was, and when I'm back there, that there was a table about this high. I could describe it. And it just stood there right in the middle of the aisle. And then over here, there was a chair that just sat there. And over here, there's another piece of furniture. And it puzzled me why these pieces of furniture were there, but I just kind of let it go. And then a preacher walked up to me, and he got right in my face, and he said, you ought to just resign. So now I woke up, and I'm like, my God, am I supposed to resign? Is there something the Lord's trying to tell me? I figured out the rest of the dream. I had a feeling the dream the week before was where we are, and God was saying there were some things out of place. People talking there, people talking here, it was out of place. I figured out the second half of the dream. People, the second week, the place was packed. I felt like that's where God wanted to take us. That's what God wanted to do. But there were still things that bothered me. The furniture bothered me. The preacher bothered me. So I called up my bishop, because in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Not in Google, there's safety. Y'all got to get off Google. I'm going to keep saying it. Get off Google. Find a man of God. You want wisdom? Find a man of God. Well, there's men of God in Google. You don't know who they are. Don't be so dumb. You have no clue who they are. You have no clue their lifestyle. So anyway, I called him up, and the first thing he said immediately, he said, the furniture represents your leadership. He said, they represent fixtures. They're fixtures, and they're out of place. Then, wow, dream before. I'm thinking that's so out of place. These people up here talking. The next dream, God took it further and showed what was out of place. It was leadership. We had issues in leadership that was out of place. Something wasn't right. Things I hadn't caught, picked up on. Am I boring you yet? I said, what about the preacher? He said, I believe the preacher is the spirit of Jezebel trying to discourage you and get you to quit. Now, I was pretty discouraged at the time. Now, I think about quitting all the time. I haven't in about a week, so don't worry. And it clicked when he said it. It clicked in my spirit. That's exactly what it was. Exactly. Now, about 3 months later, I had another evangelist in. I was sharing with him the dream. You know what he said to me? What's the Bible say? Out of the mouths of two or three will every word be established. He said, you know, I thought about your dream, and I think the furniture represents your leadership. Now I know God's doing something. It wasn't long after that, God weeded some leaders out. They had to go because they were out of place. Ask me if I'm sad. I'm always sad when people go, but I'm always more excited when I see God doing something in the middle of all that. Since then, God has been reshuffling, reorganizing things, solidifying some things. And now here we are. We all come through a year of hell with COVID. And we all think the world's falling apart and churches are dying, people closing their doors. But in the middle of all that, God's doing something. In the middle of all that, God is preparing the harvest. In the middle of all that, God is stirring souls. God is stirring. But I'm here to tell you tonight, I'm here to tell you that God is trying to stress to the church, we need people that will say, I simply must do something. I simply must engage. I simply must be involved. I simply must teach somebody a Bible study. I simply must get serious about the harvest. I simply must get serious about fixing my walk with God, because I am here to tell you tonight, and go ahead and write it in your calendars. You can take it as a prophecy, as a word from the Lord, however you want to take it. It doesn't matter to me. But I am here to tell you that God is stirring and things are beginning to break in the spirit, and God is bringing, we have seen an influx in Ashtabula. We've seen people here, and we've seen an influx of things that have been stirred in the spirit. And I'm telling you, God is doing it, but we need laborers. Ask the daycare folks. Ask them how it is if you've got one person trying to watch 10 kids. Now, they don't do that. I don't know whatever their limit is. It doesn't matter. If it's three, kids are chaos. You know how to spell kids? C-H-A-O-S. That's how to spell kids. Chaos. I don't know when the Lord's coming for His church, but I am telling you, in an hour that you know not, the Son of Man cometh. And I am telling you, God is stirring His church, and He's trying to tell the church, church, I've been out in the world stirring souls. I've been out stirring the planted seed, because Paul plants, Apollos water, and God gives the increase. And God has now begun to give increase in seed. And God is taking those that have been dormant, those that are backslidden, those that are away from the Lord, and He's beginning to stir the seed up inside of them. He's beginning to stir all of the efforts and the labor that's went into them. Now, that won't matter to you. And I'm not suggesting that's anybody here, but it won't matter to you if you don't love the lost. If you don't love people, it won't mean anything to you. But I'm here to tell you, I know you're tired. Brother Jerry, I'm tired. I know many of you that do. I know you're tired. I know you run yourself thin. I understand it too. You just have to pray what I pray. God, you got to stretch me a little farther. Turn me into Elastoman. It's the truth. And then give me some sidekicks. Give me others with superpowers. People that are willing to give themselves. Because if God brings them and the church cannot care for them, they'll fall back into the world. And we'll lose them. We can't afford that. We can't afford it. So I'm speaking to this man, and he's telling me about how broken the homosexual community is, how hurting they are. My heart just ached. My heart just ached. Because I know that same level of brokenness and hurt is in our entire world. And you know what's really sad? We have it in the church too. You know why it's in the church? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you. Because too many people didn't listen to the words of Paul. He said, quench not the spirit. They said, you can't do that in church. Too many people, you're not supposed to speak in tongues in a sanctuary. You ain't going to find it in the scripture. I dare you to find it. I dare you. Go ahead. I'll take you to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 27, 28, and then I'll explain it to you. And then I'll show you where he said, continue in silence and speak to yourself and to God. Don't stop. Don't shut up. And then I'll go a few verses down when he said, forbid not any to speak with tongues, but let all things be done decently and unto edifying. Who is this world? Who are these preachers that think they can walk up and tell somebody, you can't do that in church? You shouldn't be doing that in church. I never ask for your carnal permission. Whatever the Holy Ghost does to me, let the Holy Ghost do what the Holy Ghost... Here's why. Listen, because we can't fix anybody. You might have your little theological degree. That's so pretty. That's so nice. And you might know how to quote this verse and that verse. That ain't going to fix anybody. It's only the Spirit of God that's going to fix people. And He's going to heal the brokenhearted. And it's only the blood of Jesus that's going to heal their wounds and their infirmities. And the blood of Jesus Christ will be the one that will reach this generation. But in the meantime, He needs some nurses. He needs some doctors. He needs some janitors. He needs some people that aren't too proud to clean up the puke after the person vomited in their room. The church is a hospital. And if the church doesn't look like a building full of broken people in need of help and healing and pain, then the church isn't doing what the church should be doing. And I don't know about you, but if you ever went to the doctors and they just let you lay there and said, well, we'll keep you comfortable. I don't want to be comfortable. Oh, you ain't get what I said yet, did you? The time has passed for churches wanting to make people comfortable. That day's gone. I'm telling you, God's bringing it to a close. I'm telling you, God's going to close doors of those churches. You watch it happen, I'm telling you, because God is done playing games. He is intent about reaching this world before He comes back for His church. It isn't the church's job to make people comfortable. It's our job to love them. It's our job to preach them into healing, preach them into truth, and to preach them right into the relationship with God. The Word of God is quick and sharper than any two-edged sword. Boy, sometimes it pierces. Sometimes it hurts. But guess what? Has anybody here ever been to a doctor and they didn't say, this is going to hurt? When I was about 14 years old or 15 years old, maybe 14, I don't know, we lived on 322 and we had a sheriff come to our house about 11 o'clock at night. There was a whole herd of horses running down Route 322. Anybody from the area that knew about that? So we had a big place. We had a big barn. He said, could you guys take them in? So we did. Well, we had a couple horses of our own, and they weren't too fond of the intruders. You know, kind of like when a visitor sits in your seat. Whew. That was just so good. I couldn't help myself. And so one day I'm walking one of them in, one of ours, and one of the strangers comes up behind it, scares her. She plows forward, runs me over, kicks me in the head. I wind up with what I would have described as a golf ball-sized blood clot in my head, but it's probably a baseball size. It was big. I mean, I remember going to the doctor. I remember laying down on the gurney, and he says, this is going to hurt. And he puts a rag over my head, and he just pushes and squeezes that blood out little by little before it bursts. He said, if it bursts, you're going to die. I still remember the pain talking about it. It hurt. What I'm telling you is sometimes healing hurts. Sometimes what God has to do in our lives hurts. You know why? Well, self-inflicted pains, wounds from other people. There is no hospital that makes people just comfortable. Now, they might for a season, they might do their best, but when it comes down to fixing the need, they're going to have to put you out, they're going to have to put you under, they have to cut you open. Sometimes you got to break ribs, sometimes you got to break legs, sometimes you got to drill, sometimes you got to saw. All that stuff goes on in hospital rooms. Anybody ever do CPR on somebody? Okay, you know the rib cages. It literally tears all the cartilage and collapses everything when you do that, right? Did you think you could push on their ribs and they're just going to stay there? No. You have to collapse the rib cages to do CPR properly. So, I know I'm preaching to the choir, and I know that we have a great church, and I mean that. But I'm asking you to pray with me. I'm asking you to search your heart more than you ever have. Ask God to put in your spirit what He is asking of you, because we simply must continue to do everything that we can. Everything. Do you know why that $20,000 check from somebody living seven states away meant something to me today? Well, they said, Brother Jerry, they said, we believe in what you're doing. We believe in what you're doing. Now, sometimes when you're on the ground zero, you don't feel like you're doing much. But other people see it. And it was God's way of saying, I know that it might not be everything you want. Things might not have gone every way you wanted to go. But God has a way of stirring the right people at the right moment to letting us know that God believes in what we're doing as well. We paid $36,000 cash for that building. Everything needed to be renovated from the inside out. Both roofs, flat, peak, everything. And every last penny, God has done something and given it through people. Here's the kicker. That's not even the one that is really exploding right now. It's Ashtabula. We had almost 60 people on Sunday in Ashtabula. We took that church over a year and a half ago with about, I think, 8 couples. And we knew one wouldn't last, maybe 10. We knew one couple wouldn't last. One passed away. And through that, God has kept doing. And then we joined with the other church. And there wasn't many there, 6, 7 people. One of them passed away before they even got membership signed. And then the people just keep coming. And because people like, where's Brother Terry and Sister Jeanette? Aren't they here? Every week, they're out running around, driving like madmen, picking up people, running stop signs, breaking speed limits. But they're getting them to the house of the Lord. We got people like Brother Kenny and Brad who've taken on the responsibility of trying to make sure the maintenance in Ashtabula and Conneaut stays up to par. We've got people like Brother Tyler, Sister Hannah, and this entire worship team who go from one church to the next on Sundays with us. We've got people that have just kept giving and plugging and giving and giving and giving. But I am telling you, do you know we already have a piece of property that's being given to us also right off of Route 11 and Route 20, right on the interstate to build a future church for Ashtabula? That's the vision. I'm telling you. And the whole Conneaut deal, God would dump hundreds of thousands of dollars. And that wasn't even God's mission. God was trying to get us into Ashtabula. It only came about because the man working on our furnaces in Conneaut said, hey, y'all want another church? And I said, no way, Jose. I did. And I was begged to go to the meeting, so I did. And I left the meeting feeling as the will of God. My wife says, how are you going to do it? I said, I have no clue. We'll figure it out. That's all I know to say. But God does. And I'm here to tell you this. Watch this. Listen, if you don't like me or you think I'm off my rocker or I'm not, or God hasn't called me, give me one more year. Now watch this. I'm speaking purely in faith in the Holy Ghost right now. You give me one more year. You watch. Next year, this time, you're not going to recognize this church or Ashtabula. Just watch. Just watch. Just watch. I feel the Holy Ghost, man. I really do. But listen, we need people. We need our young people. We need others. We need you to engage. We need you to say, I simply must. I simply must. Do what? I don't know. Some people are older and they can't do as much. Give. When there's a need, give. Give financially. Give in prayer. Pray. Vigorously pray. Pray for strength for those that are. Pray for strength. Pray for wisdom. Pray for the Holy Ghost to move. Pray for God just to do. Pray for the harvest. Pray for new souls. Pray. Pray. And so with that, I'm going to close. Didn't want to wow you. I just wanted to tell you, God's going to do it. But he needs us. He needs people that will get on board and believe in what the Lord wants to do. So what do you believe in? You believe in God to save your mother, your father, your brother, your sister? Do you believe God to save the liberal, the conservative? Do you believe God to save the homosexual? Do you believe God, anybody? Let him who will. I believe that with my whole heart. I believe that with my whole heart. Let him who will. And then let God change them. Let God heal them. Let God do what God does. But we've got to love them long enough to show them the love of God through us. If people don't see Jesus, it's because we failed. Bottom line. Now, I'm done. I don't want people to see a coffee shop. We'll do coffee corner. I don't want them to say, oh, Pentecostal Community Church, man, I mean, their burritos on Sunday mornings, great. I don't want them to say, oh, that choir is really good. They brought me to tears. I don't want them to say, that preacher's amazing. I want them to say, I have never felt God like I have felt in that place. Now, I got a question for you real quick. If you have ever been to another church, don't lie, and when you came here, you said to yourself, I've never felt God the way I feel here, would you just stand for a moment? Thank you. I've heard that from a lot of people. A lot of people. A lot. Why? I don't want the church to know me. I want them to know the power of God. When people walk in, I want them to know the power of God. So do me a favor. Remember Sunday? Everybody likes blessings. It's our turn to bless the kingdom. If you want to bless the kingdom of God and you want to be a part of that harvest, just come to the front for me real quick, if you would. I didn't ask about your abilities. Only the Lord knows who you'll cross paths with tomorrow, next week. Only God knows the person that comes to you and makes a joke. Only God knows what's hurting in their spirit, in their soul. And they don't know how to ask you to pray for them. So they come up and they'll make a joke or they'll make a little quirky statement. We need God to show us. When somebody's reaching out, but they don't know how to reach out, but they're reaching out in those little private ways. Now, you're going to have some people going to say, like I had this week, I'm lost. I'm just lost. I just don't know where to go from here. You're going to have them. And you're going to have people that are going to say nothing, but they're lost. They're just as lost and just as hurting. So, Brother Jerry, before we pray, I want you to come up and I want you to pray for us. Somebody complimented me about Brother Jerry. It was yesterday, I think. I don't even remember when. And they said, you know, they said, Brother Jerry, they said, he lives in Cortland, and it doesn't matter where. If he feels there's a need there, or he comes and he goes and he comes and he goes. He'll drive all over the place. For and he does, and he will. Why? Because inside of his spirit, I know he's saying, we simply must. We were fortunate today to go out and pay $10,000 cash on this minivan because they hit a deer with the other one and totaled it out. Why? You could use that money for a lot of things. We simply must get people to church. We simply must do whatever we can do. Replacing our 15 passengers next. That's our next goal. It's pretty ragtag rolled. Why? Because we must. We must. And we've got people that are willing now. We've got people that will drive. We must. So someone calls you up and they say, hey, where were you at on Sunday? I thought you were going to come hang with us. You should say, you should know I must be about my Father's business. You should know I got to be in church. Why? They tell you you're going to hell? No. I want to be there. I want to be a part of what God is doing. And if you don't want it, you ain't been to our church. You ain't felt the Lord like I have. Go ahead, Brother Jerry. Pray for us, and then they're going to sing. And we're going to worship together, and we're going to ask the Lord to help us tonight.
Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for Calvary, Lord, where you brought us all from. We thank you, Lord, for calling us into this county, Lord Jesus, these three communities. Lord, there's lost and dying souls out there, Lord. Lord, we know there's a harvest out there, Lord. And we must be about your business, Lord Jesus, Lord. We must be about our Father's business, Lord Jesus, Lord. Lord, the Pentecostal Community Church, Lord, under this shepherd, Lord. Lord, you don't have to search for us, Lord. You know where to find us, Lord. We're going to be out and about in this county, Lord, hearing the cries of lost and dying souls, Lord, as we're led by the power of God and the power of the Holy Ghost. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, Lord, give us what we need, Lord, as we venture out this year, Lord, in outreach, Lord. We know there's a lost and dying county out there, Lord. 2020 took its toll on these precious souls, Lord. They're lost. They're hurting. They're looking for a place to go. They're looking for a beacon of light out there, Lord Jesus. And that light is you. May we share with them, Lord, where you brought us from. May we share with them, Lord, Calvary, Lord, how you died on that cross, Lord, for all walks of life, no matter what they're going through, no matter where they're at in their life, Lord. You are that hope, Lord. Lord, may we take that with us, Lord. May they feel that love of Christ in us, Lord. That's what's going to draw them to you, Lord. May we be that beacon of light. We must be, Lord, about your business. Lord, give us strength, Lord, as we move ahead in this year, Lord. Provide, Lord, we know you already did. Give us laborers, Lord, as we venture out, Lord, as we bring people, Lord, with your help into this house, Lord. Provide every need, Lord, we pray. Lord, as we be about our Father's business, we give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name.
And mountains are still being moved, and strongholds are still being roused. God, we believe, yes, we can see it, the wonders are still what you do. And bodies are still being raised, giants are still being slain. And God, we believe, yes, we can see it, and wonders are still what you do. And we are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Set our hearts on you. Come and do what you do. 'Cause we need a move. We need a move. We need a move. We need a move. Oh, bodies.
Bodies are still being raised.
Oh, yes.
Giants are still being slain.
Oh, God.
Yes, we can see it. The wonders are still what you do.
Oh, we are here for you.
Come and do what you do.
Oh, yes, we are
here for you. Come and do what you do.
Oh, set our hearts on you.
Come and do what you do. 'Cause we need a move. We need a move. We need a move. We need a move. Oh, miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming. Oh, miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming.
Oh, miracle.
Miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming.
Oh, miracles!
Miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming
in this room.
Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming.
Oh, miracles!
Miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming.
Yes, miracles.
Miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming. This is a move. This is a move. We need a move. We need a move. Oh, we need a move. We need a move. This is a move. This is a move. Oh, miracle. Miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming. Oh, miracles. Miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming. This is a move. This is a move. We need a move. We need a move.
Right now, you can pray for all those that are trying to make things possible. Brother Jerome is our youth leader. Where's he at? If it's so short, I'd see you. Does a fantastic job. Ages 12 to 18. And below that, we have Sister Jasmine and Tracy Dean, who takes care of our younger youth groups. And Connie is our hyphen director, which is for ages 18 graduated up to 30, 33. Okay, up to 35, you're attending church. Anyway, they get together once every couple weeks. Sister Kathy does a ladies' Bible study every Saturday, and I'll tell you, I honestly have only heard good things about it. So why am I telling you? There's other things I could mention. I'm trying to think of everything right now. My head's just kind of scattered. But you know, kids need a youth group. Invite them. If you are a young adult and you want to join a hyphen group, come. If you want to go to ladies' Bible study, go. There's plenty of other things. You want to join the choir, talk to Angel. If you want to, what else? I don't know. Huh? the Elijah team, talk to Brother Dan, the single ladies thing. Sister Diane had a procedure today. That's why she's not here. I don't know if they mentioned, remember to mention her or not. Esther's etiquette, young girls, ages 10 to 15, once a month, right? What else? Sunday school. Oh, I need Sunday school teachers to listen. Huh? Outreach team. Dr. Brother Jerry, I promise you, he'll welcome you. People to drive vans, pick people up. The list goes on. Nursery. Yeah, the nursery. Yard work. Nursery's a big one. Listen, we want single mothers to come. We need to have a place for them to dump their load. What? Oh, even married mothers too. Yes, yeah, sorry. You got a big load. Your load might be too big for the nursery. Now listen, if you're a new parent, don't get offended at that statement. I guarantee you'll be on board in a couple years. Before I had kids, I remember walking through the mall one day. It used to be a mall. Now it's just a big building in Ashtabula with a couple of mom and pop stores. Anyway, I was walking through it, and this lady's pushing her stroller. The baby drops the binky. She picks it up, sticks it right back in her mouth. I'm like, oh, girl, I'd never done that. Well, you'll find that out real fast. They drop them 1,000 times. You're finally like, done. Kevin was a year old. We're walking through Busch Gardens, man. He looks down. He reached down, grabbed a piece of gum off the ground, stuck in his mouth, and chewed it. I said, it's good for your immune system, buddy. Chew away. I didn't even try to take it out of his mouth. I didn't. I don't care. Hey, they're pretty healthy now, so it don't matter. And the list goes on. So there's a lot. Clean. They always need help. We have three buildings, a fourth one coming, that need clean. Sister Terry cleans Ashtabula for us. Sister, I forgot your name. Kristen. It just failed me for a second. I remembered before I said it, just for the record. Sister Kristen does Conneaut. And then Sister Pam, wherever she disappeared to, she takes care of the biggest one. And then it needs tidied up before Friday because of the youth rally. They need some people to come in, maybe tidy it up. And there's all kind of maintenance for the guys that are handy. What am I saying? There's a lot. Yard work. There's just a lot. There's a lot. And if you'll get on board, God will bless your home and your family for being a part. He really will. So engage somewhere and let's get ready. Last question I ask you. Do you see with me, can you feel that harvest that God is absolutely shaking the corn stalks? I feel it. Amen. I really do. If we all do our part, only God knows what will happen. Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you for receiving, and I appreciate everything that everybody does. And if you're here for the first or second or third time, don't worry, we'll have a place for you to plug in somewhere, I can promise you. Amen. We need some preachers here pretty soon. I need a break sometimes. Oh, they're coming. Don't forget, in April, end of April, Dr. Hughes is going to be with us. It's going to be epic. I'm telling you, it's going to be epic. You don't want to miss it. I don't remember the dates. What's the dates? 23rd through 25th. Good, because I just found some conflicting dates I thought I was going to miss. 23rd, 4th, and 5th. Is that right? You're not 27th? Okay, that's a Monday? Okay, good. Listen, you want to be here, I promise you. You want to be here. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Don't miss it. God bless you. You want to pray, worship, do whatever you want to do. We appreciate you.